1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
So the stock market's down 160 points. You know, if you've ever seen the stock market, have you ever seen people on the floor of the stock exchange? I don't know how it works. I don't understand it. Do you? Is anybody out there gets that? These guys are screaming at each other. They look like they're in a fist fight. Some guys are wearing white smocks like they're doctors, and other guys are wearing blue coats like they're butchers. Some guys look like pharmacists. Other guys are in suits. There's a bell that they ring. They just showed the close of the session. There were some kids with red baseball caps standing there. It's like somebody's going to break out a didgeridoo and people will dance around a bonfire. It's aboriginal. It's fine. I got no problem with it. I don't get it. I don't know anybody that understands exactly what's going on. Guys screaming at each other. And out of this, we're supposed to understand the economic health of our nation. 160 points it went down today. Not that it's bothered me. My money's not in the stock market. I mean, not much, anyway. It's a very masculine environment. I don't see a lot of women down there yelling and screaming at each other. And it's just, all in all, it's just a very confusing thing. And then you see, and at the end of all of that madness, the end of all of that mayhem, and the stock market is down 160. Or at the end of all of that insanity, it's up 500. And somehow all of that makes sense. So it's kind of like throwing the future, it's giving the reins of the power, the future, the health of the nation. It's sort of like just tossing it all into it's like a Ouija board or something. I know it makes sense. See, this is just a dumb guy talking today. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm just a stupid guy talking. We have no show today. And that's fine with me. You know, there's some days I go into that office and I sit down and say, I'm going to prep a show. And we're going to come up with some radio theater. I don't feel like it today. What do you think of that? I still feel like it. I'm not going to do it, and nobody can make me. Now, I want to move along to Barry Bonds, because this morning I was having a bowl of, I think it was the peanut butter Captain Crunch that the kids like. And I said, hey, whose is this? Oh, it's the kids. Can I have a little bit of it? Well, there's only one bowl left. I want it. So I took it. Too bad. And I had the peanut butter Captain Crunch. And I said, hey, honey, Barry Bonds just hit 56. So Barry Bonds is now 3 home runs ahead of Mark McGwire. And she said, geez, that's great. And I said to her, oh, I know what she said. She said, how come there aren't a lot of people excited about Barry Bonds creeping up on McGwire's record? I said, what do you think? And she said, well, I hope not. I would think that we've moved past that, haven't we? I said, this is America. What have we moved past? He's a gold chain wearing black guy, and nobody wants that guy to beat Mark McGwire, who's the ultimate white man, red hair, comes from California. There's nothing whiter than a red-headed man. People make fun of people with red hair, but redheads, they're white. If you think white is the epitome, redhead's the epitome. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something. As the way things are going in the world today, redheads and naturally blonde people are the only pure, truly white people. If you have dark hair, brown hair, black hair, you're black or Mexican or something. You ain't even white. The only white people left in America today, in the world today, have red hair and naturally blonde hair. Anything darker than that, you are of the mud people. And I don't care. You can join clubs. You can sing. You can talk about your ancestors. And some of the darkest people I ever met in my life are Germans. I got a very dear friend. Why he's a dear friend, I don't know. He's so dark. But anyway, I have a very dear friend in Orlando who is German, of Germanic descent. This guy, I swear to God, looks like a Mexican. Now, that's the guy. I'm telling you the truth. He's German. The whole family's German. They come from a long line of Germans, and yet he's as dark as any Mexican I've ever seen. And we used to kid him. I go, hey, so, Pancho, I mean, I'm sorry. And after a while, because if you say that to a German, they go wild. They go insane because they're the leaders of the world, right? And a lot of people. And of course, then we have the other. Here's another group of people that you got to watch out for. Not watch out for. You actually have to watch out for them in terms of taking care of them. Jewish people who've converted to Christianity. Now, here's why I say that. Because if your last name is Goldfarb, and the Nazis come with the boxcars again, you think they're going to care if you tell them, look, I believe in Jesus? Because your last name is Goldfarb, you're going in. You're going in. That's the truth, and I don't mean to, you know, I don't want to start the whole show off on a bummer, but it is interesting, don't you think? I'm a Jew for Jesus. I converted. The last name Goldfarb, yeah, get in. But wait a second, I said to get in. Auschwitz bound. So those are the two groups of people. Jews that believe in Jesus, forget it. You're going to a concentration camp with everybody else with the last name of Goldfarb, Goldberg, Rabinowitz, Iceberg. What the heck's the difference, right? And then the other group of people are anybody with, you know, whose hair's darker than red. If you got a black, you're black. You want to get right down to it now. You want to really talk about the separation of the races, and you want to talk about how, you know, just exactly what's happening to the so-called white race. You know, everybody's worried about the white man disappearing. The white man is far, far more in danger than you think. Because, like I say, unless you got red hair, you are a Mexican. Like my friend Craig Taylor, our engineer today. Craig Taylor, very great guy. Craig has dark brown hair and a dark brown goatee. The guy might as well be like from freaking Argentina or something. Although in Argentina, they got all kinds of Germans. You ever met an Argentinian? They're the weirdest people. They have names like Carlos von Schleppelheimer. So, you know, it's because the Germans went down to Argentina starting in the 20s. And one of my favorite race car drivers when I was growing up was an Argentinian driver. His name was Carlos Reutemann from Argentina. And the same thing with Brazil. So the whole world's messed up, man. The whole thing is kind of a mongrelized thing. And you got to make a little bit of sense out of it. And when you go and you take a look at the stock, but don't start your day looking at the stock market. Do anything other than that. Don't look at the stock market. Don't look at those nuts there. Now, this Smith that Gary Condit is said to have had an affair with, she's an airline stewardess. She has red hair at first glance. It's actually out of a bottle. So she ain't white. See what I'm saying? All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. But Barry Bonds is going to be the subject probably of our Phil Hendry Polls America poll later on this week. This week, however, or I shouldn't say this week, I should say today, our Phil Hendry Polls America poll involves or is about Penelope Cruz, the great actress, and the poll starts as such. I got a good look at Penelope Cruz, and I must report that she is A, eminently doable, B, hanky. And let's take a look and see what the result of today's poll is so far. Eminently doable, 56%. Hanky, 44%. So Penelope Cruz is, she's making it. She's moving. She's moving and grooving. She's an interesting woman. But she ain't white. No, she's an interesting looking woman. Some very sharp aquiline features. Some guys, I don't want to say who, Mike. Don't think she's very pretty, but I think she is. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're just kidding around. All of this is bullcrap, you guys. Tune out anytime you want. Stay with us. I don't know what's going to happen. Today may be the day. If you live in Los Angeles, you've seen those billboards that say Hendry suicide. Today may be the day. On the Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're going to open up our phones here at 1-800-449-8686 to get some feedback on a subject that is, it needs to be talked about, and that is Florida and the people that live there. And I gotta tell you something. I lived in Florida. I've lived, other than California, I've lived in Florida longer than any other place. I mean, I grew up in California. I left California in 1972. I drove down there with some friends of mine, and we worked in construction work. I got into radio. So, about 6 years, I'd say, I lived in the Orlando, Miami areas. And then another 3 years during the 90s, I lived in Miami. And while I had nothing but great success in Miami and in Florida in general, I had a good time. There's something about the people down there. Now, one wants to say that they're stupid, and I think that's a harsh word. You know, it's a cruel word. It may be an accurate word, but it's just something I don't want to use the word stupid. Let's just say that Florida attracts more people who don't seem to have any real concern for their own well-being than any other place that I can... Well, maybe it's not even their own well-being. Maybe stupid is a good word. I don't know. I lived there and worked there and befriended people there. And I was stunned by the idiots you'd run into. Just idiots. They don't know how to drive. Let me just start with that one, okay? I'm trying to give you some concrete example, because we'll get into the whole shark thing in a minute. And maybe you visited Florida. Maybe you lived there. See, here's the thing that I admire about Florida. This is what I want to say. Stupidity down there is in vogue. It is a chic, desirable quality. That's what I wanted to say. Now, that's what makes it a unique place, because not only are people stupid there, but they want to be stupid, and they think it's amusing that their stupidity befuddles and baffles the rest of the intelligent universe. They enjoy it. They parade their mullet cut, as it were. They are going to see how many people that can get eaten by a freaking shark down there in the next 3 months. They've not only, they had six, they got nine last weekend. What are they up to now, about 15? And when people say, you, I got to be an idiot going to the, yeah, that's right, isn't it fun? No, you're an idiot. You're going to go into the... Yeah, you watch. Watch me. I'm going to go in and get my ass bit off. What do you think about that? What, are you crazy? Yes. And they're going to break the record. I don't know what the break... I don't know what the month record is for any state in the union for having somebody get their ass bit off by a shark. They're on their way. They're going to break that record. They're going to own that record this month in Florida. By the end of this month, like 50 guys are going to have been eaten up by a freaking shark. Why? Because they dig it. They want to see, they want the whole world. Look, if you can't get the attention of people any other way, you might as well get the attention, I guess what it is, like negative attention, right? You're a freaking moron. You can't punch a Chad. You can't get your ass out of the water long enough not to get eaten by a shark. You can't drive. You can't think. You can't keep a city afloat without it going bankrupt. There is no city of Miami. I don't know if you know it or not. There is no city of Miami. It went down, it went belly up years ago. Miami's just a figure of speech. It's a concept. It's an area. But there's no city. It's a county now, I think. You're getting eaten up by sharks. And the other thing they do down there is they drive on the beach. You ever heard of anything like this before in your life? Their cars go right down onto the sand. They used to have the Daytona 500 on the beach. They would run it, part of it on the beach, then up on the track, and then they'd go back out, down onto the beach. And until finally somebody said, no, we better not run it on the beach anymore because we've, like, killed 1,500 kids here in the last 3 years. This little kid dragging a boogie board. Here comes Richard Petty. Well, there's another dead kid. And they weren't smart enough to say, should we not have swimming when we run the Daytona 500? Finally, 3 years later, a guy says, yeah, we better not have any swimming either. How come? Well, it's killing. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're killing people. Okay. Well, on the day of the Daytona 500, you ain't allowed to go swimming. Why? Because the cars are going down the beach at 100 miles. Oh, all right. And that's the conversation. That's a typical conversation in Florida. Don't go down the beach and you'll get run over by the car that goes 150 miles. The Daytona 500? Yeah, oh, I heard about that. Yeah. You mean I shouldn't go? Yes. Let me repeat myself. And they can't vote. And they got a guy gets hit by a shark, so six more guys go in the water. And I heard a guy the other day, and if you believe this, you'll believe anything. The guy said, oh, hell, we surf right among the sharks. No, you don't. You dumbass. Maybe you do. Maybe you and two other guys do. Surfers in general are not looking to go into the water with sharks. I don't care what you want to tell me. It doesn't happen. It's never happened. It will continue not to happen. And the thing about Florida that you got to understand is there is no state income tax. There is only a federal income tax. And so, therefore, I don't know how they make any money down there, but most of the roads are like toll roads. You go on the freeways, they're very badly maintained. And the fact is, there isn't a soul down there that knows how to drive an automobile. And what's funny about that is they spend a fair amount of money on their cars, at least in Miami and some of the cities I've been in. And really, and that's a whole other thing. Miami is one thing, and Florida, the rest of Florida is something else entirely. There's Miami, then there's Florida. The same way as there's New York, and then there's the state of New York. And there's really nothing that the two have in common other than the fact that whether you're in Miami or Florida, you're still stupid. You just, if you're in Miami, you're a dumb Cuban. All right, I don't mean just, you know. There's a very interesting mix of Cuban and redneck down there. I'm not sure who's dumber. But in any event, and in the rest of the state, you're just a dumb redneck. Now, you can drive a car down there. It could be a $150,000, $200,000 Ferrari, a $300,000, $350,000 Rolls Royce. But there's an art to driving a car, which they have no concept of down there. They don't know how to drive an automobile. Now, they may think that's funny. Well, it's your money, Charlie. It's your money. The cheapest-ass window tinting jobs you've ever seen in your life, bubbling out. They tint the freaking windows down there because I guess it saves on the air conditioning. Everybody drives a white car. Every car looks like hell because of the salt rotting the chassis. You're driving down the street, and you can see the street passing underneath you from the hole in the floor of your car, your Rolls Royce. Drive like crap, all kinds of automobile accidents, doing all of this in a car that you paid 150 G's for. Or the other end of the stick, some guy going down a road in a Corolla. I saw a guy go down the freeway on I-95 in Miami once. The back axle was like 3 feet over from the front. So in other words, the car was going down the street sideways, but straight. You know, can you conceptualize that? So it was going diagonal. The car was diagonal to its line of motion, of its movement. How does a car get like that? Guy must have rolled it six times and had his cousin hammer out the axle or something. Then he gets on the road, and the car is going down the street diagonally. So that when you open the door to get out the side, you're actually getting out kind of the front. And yet this car doesn't get pulled over. What does get pulled over in Miami... the only other guy I ever saw get pulled over in Miami was a guy who got pulled over with the DEA. I don't know what he was doing, but I saw like all these dark blue cars that will stop you in the fast lane of traffic. You know how like in California, most places they'll pull over to the shoulder of the road? Not in Miami. The cop will pull you right over there in the fast lane. And it'll be like three dark blue DEA cars and one guy in a whatever the hell crap can sports car, you know, he thinks is going to pass for a Corvette. With their guns drawn. I saw this going home from work one night. With the big wire antennas and all these DEA guys in their jeans and their badge right here on the belt and the kind of the T-shirt, you know, the muscle shirt. And on the back it says DEA or FBI or NBC. I think one of them said CBS. One guy had a camera, you know, MSNBC. But I am going to be looking at this shark situation very carefully because I can't wait to see as many of them get hit as possible, as many of them die as possible, and I hope it's slow, and I hope it's bloody. Because the whole country now has its eyes on Florida. Who's going to be the next dumbass to get eaten by a shark? And the next guy to get hit by a shark is going to do it on purpose. I'll do it, hell yeah. And he'll go out and he'll get hit. And he'll be shark victim number 643 because it's come some kind of a bet because they want to drive everybody else crazy. You know, I gave the phone number. I said, well, maybe we'll take some calls. We got no interesting stories. You know, nobody's got anything they can say that's going to top what I'm saying. And right now, the line in Vegas, what is it? You saw it, Craig? 3 to 5, somebody gets eaten in the next 24 hours. So forget it. You're not even going to make any money on that. Some guy goes into the water in Florida on purpose because he's going to get his name in the newspaper. He's going to get his face on TV. There's all kinds of these cheap glory hogs, all these people who want to get some cheap publicity, people not even smart enough to stay out of the water, people that are doing it on purpose, people that screwed up voting on purpose, people that screwed up voting because they're stupid, people that voted for a guy because they really meant to, people that voted for the guy because they didn't mean to, I mean, and everything, and people with mullet cuts because they think they look hip, people with mullet cuts because they just want to piss me off, and everything in between. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, baby, I remember how it was. I remember how it was when we first came out here. You were it, baby. Every studio in town. The phone ringing all the time. I remember those parties over at Swifty's, you know? The beach house, the studio press, all the magazines, Variety, People, Entertainment Weekly. Yeah, baby, I remember. I remember so well. I remember when I actually got my picture taken with John Tesh. You thought that was kind of funny, huh? And then I remember the big day we got the call. We got the big call from Aaron Spelling's people. They wanted you, baby. They wanted you for 90210. Yeah, baby, I remember it all. And then, just as quickly, it ended. That's right, baby, you remember it ended. The calls stopped, the auditions closed, the parties overbooked. Suddenly and without warning, it all ended. You went from being the hottest thing in town to yesterday's news. I gotta tell you, it stung, baby. It stung real bad. You know, I was taking a walk the other day. I was walking along Santa Monica Boulevard, and I stopped in for a beer just to get in out of the sun. I was racking my brains. What happened? I was asking myself. What happened? What could have caused everything to just come crashing down around us? What was it? What was it that caused all the studios to suddenly stop calling? All the party makers to stop partying? All the big shots to stop shooting? And just as I was thinking that, you walked in to meet me for a drink. And I saw it. Yeah, honey, I saw what happened. Your ass got way, way too big. Your ass is out of control.
Please stand by.
Yeah, baby, your ass got out of control. It got wide. You didn't think you were going to get away with it, did you? Baby, I tried to explain it to you then. You can't eat like that and hope that the David Kellys, the Botchkos, you think these guys are going to be interested in you? Come on, are you bullcrapping me? So it's over, baby. And why is it over? Because your ass couldn't even get to the door of the bar I was drinking in. We had to eat al dente that day, baby. That means outside.
This has been another installment in Your Ass Got Big. The further adventures of Lefty and Louise on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Yeah, if I've got to pass my wife around like some kind of a, like... some kind of a juicy marijuana cigarette to get my son on the team, then so be it. You know, and they say he's got a club foot. It doesn't mean he can't be a quarter.
Oh, now your son has a club foot.
Well, sure. I thought your producer told you.
No, he didn't tell me, Jack. So your son isn't a starting quarterback. He's got a club foot. And if you got to pass your wife around like a juicy marijuana cigarette.
Would you like me to give you my wife's home phone number? Or-
no, that's fine. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing, Phil?
Yes, sir.
This is Robert. I'm calling from New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say this guy here is a complete fool. I mean, you want to fulfill your personal dream. What about your son?
I want what's best for my son, and the best thing for my son right now is to start in the National Football League.
Well, I don't doubt that, and I applaud that. I applaud
Thank you.
You want the best for your
yeah.
son.
I want to start.
I am a father also.
I want him to start for the San Francisco 49ers.
Did you even get a date back in high school?
Did I get what date?
Did you get a date? I mean, this is...
A date?
I mean, you sound like a loser.
I know.
You sound like a loser, and
you want to fulfill your dreams. Did I get a date? I got the date that Columbus landed in America. Is that the date you're asking for?
Not a history date. We're talking about, did you get a date?
I want him to be the next Joe Montana, which is very possible. My son can throw the ball just as far as any quarterback with two arms.
Okay.
All right?
What do you mean two arms?
Because my son's been missing a right arm since birth.
So now he has a club foot and one arm.
Right. What do you think?
That's pretty good, though. I mean,
What's funny about that?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is I applaud this kid.
Are you laughing at a crippled boy?
We're not laughing in a crib.
No, I heard the two of you laugh.
No,
I said he had a club foot, and you, this gentleman in New Orleans, you laughed.
No, what I'm saying is I applaud your son for being...
A cripple?
For being a good athlete.
He is a good athlete for a kid.
Now, that I didn't know. I was on the phone trying to get through the show.
Right.
Now, I applaud that. What I'm saying is, did you even get a date in high school? Because you're trying to fulfill your dreams... Something that you could not do or did not do.
I expect the club foot to do what I want him to do because look what I did for him.
The club foot.
That's how you treat your
that's
son.
How you treat that's how you talk about your son.
I put all-terrain tires on his electric wheelchair for the grass field.
Look, you got a son in a wheelchair? You got a kid with a club foot and one arm and you want him to start for the Green Bay Packers. Is that what you're telling me?
Look at my wife, if she's got to suck every...
Okay, that's it.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Have you heard about Aaliyah? She's a singer who was killed in this plane crash out near, I guess, the Bahamas. And they're remembering Aaliyah, a lot of the fans. Now, I don't know if you know the particulars on this, but the plane crashed as the result... Now, you don't have to know who she is. I know I say the name Aaliyah, and her fans know who she is, but unfortunately, I don't think mainstream people know who she is. I asked the guys here, and Mike thought it was a porn actress, and Craig thought, isn't she the one who hosts that game show? I said, no, she's a singer. They went, oh, okay. And then they went back to staring at me through those sort of glassed-over eyes that they have just about this time of the afternoon. But in any event, she was in this plane crashing, and it happened as the result of them putting too much luggage on board the plane. The pilot said, no, I don't want any more luggage on the plane. And they said, why? Because the plane will not be safe. It will not be stable with, too much luggage. And so when he wasn't looking, they went ahead and put it on anyway, and then the plane crashed. So you can see the logical progression of events. Okay, we want to put some luggage on the plane. No, you may not, because it'll make the plane unstable. Oh, okay, thank you. Turns his back, put it on anyway, plane takes off, crashes in a fireball. Beautiful. Where do you get balls big enough? Where does anybody get balls big enough to look at a pilot and say, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to put the luggage on anyway because I have to get this stuff home. Do you know what a plane crash is? Do you know what just a huge ball of orange flame is? As it plummets with black smoke billowing from the tail into the ocean. You know what that is? That's called a plane crash. Generally, nobody survives. Well, we're going to do it anyway.
You're going to do it anyway?
Yeah. Are you a pilot? No, we're not pilots.
Well, I'm the pilot, right?
Yeah, you're the pilot.
I'm telling you that if you put the luggage on here, well, it's, you know. So I'm just full of crap, is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, I see. Oh, thank you. Well, you're welcome. Why am I flying if you have so much confidence in me? You think I'm such a moron. I don't know what the hell it is I'm talking about. Going to put the luggage on there. Just shut up and fly the plane.
Shut up and fly. Yeah, I'll shut up and fly the plane. I'll fly it right into that mountain. How about that?
Why don't I just fly it right into the Everglades? You want me to fly the airplane? Just get in there, okay? We're paying the freight on this thing. It's a charter. We got a Leah in here. Whoever the hell she is. Oh, getting smart with us now, huh? Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm getting smart. I'm the pilot. I get to get smart. Look, Aaliyah's got to get into the thing, and she's like, well, whatever. Aaliyah. She related to Selena? Yeah, sure. Okay. We're on our way, man. Just dig that. What if you were flying with me, Mike? For instance, we're getting on a little charter or something. Guy says, look, Mr. Henry, I can't take that bag. Well, you're going to have to. Well, I can't take the bag because of the plane. All right. Hey, look, he's not looking, Mike. Go ahead. Let's put the bowling balls and the ball bearings on now, okay? Go ahead and get the elephant feed, too, and the puppy chow that we... Yeah, we can get it all in there. 6 tons. Yeah, he ain't looking. Go, 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 go. Phil, the guy said, I don't give a crap what he said. Come on. You want to die? Well, you okay. What is that? That's what they did. That's the story. You got the whole story on this Aaliyah and the plane that crashed. They said, don't take any more stuff, and they did anyway. Now, of course, I may be misquoting what I heard. I may be making up an entire thing and slandering this woman, but it's interesting, isn't it? The crap that I'm making up. Do we have any story on her, the crash, and not some stupid story here about her fans remembering her that I don't care to read? What I'd like to get is the specifics on this plane crash. Because what happened was, essentially, an overweighted plane. We've got a lot of things going on with airplanes. You see, there was another one here that this guy, you know, the landing gear didn't go down. See, when I get the story, I need a story about what I'm talking about, not about her fans remembering her. So can I get that now? While we're waiting for that story, how you been? Good? Yeah? Are you still taking flying lessons, Craig? You going to get your flying lesson? You going to get your, huh? Too much money? You gotta buy a, what was she flying, an Cessna? It's a pretty damn good plane. I mean, either that or a Piper Cub. What are the two big, small plane? Jesus, every time I hear about small plane, I'm never going to get in a small plane as long as I live. Cessna 172 and a Piper Cherokee. Who's flying these things? You know, sooner or later, private pilots. The only guys that die in these private plane crashes are very wealthy people or rock stars or something like that. Still waiting on that story about Aaliyah. Well, get it, will you, please? So who else? It was Richie Valens and those guys and Lynyrd Skynyrd and Patsy Cline and Stevie Ray Vaughan and, you know, Kennedy. Of course, we all know that Kennedy went down because he was just trying to get away from the caterwauling and the chattering of his wife and his sister-in-law as they were blathering about where they wanted to shop next time they were in New York, and he decided he'd just go ahead and take his chances with the sharks. He was going to go and just ditch the plane in the ocean rather than have to listen to that for much longer. And maybe the pilot decided, oh, yeah? You want to put extra luggage on my plane? Watch this. Must have come as a hell of a shock. The guy that suggested putting the extra luggage on a plane just before they hit the water. Where did they crash, anyway? Into the water or something? On land, they crashed. Just before they hit the land. I wonder what that guy was thinking. Oh. Man, when I walk away from this, I'll just give the press the story, you know, that it wasn't my idea. They're leaning toward engine failure as the cause of Saturday night's accident. The Post reported the pilot of the Cessna and the singer's video crew got into a heated argument before taking off over the weight of the equipment and passengers. The pilot argued the Miami-bound plane was dangerously overloaded, but eventually gave in and took off. What the hell is this crap about how they snuck it on? Fellow pilot Lewis Key told the tabloid, but Key added that the pilot also had trouble getting one of his engines started. Another suggested that engine failure may have led to the tragedy. You know, I was flying one time on Allegheny Airlines, and you don't know Allegheny Airlines didn't even exist anymore, but I was flying to Utica, New York from Pittsburgh, and this was a real piece of work airline. It was a pile of crap airline. I mean, I remember watching the pilot get on, take a wire coat hanger out, hang up his coat. He took the plane off like he just got in, sat down, started it up, like we were in a van, like in a bus or something. Just, okay, here we go. And he took off, and we landed at a couple of spots, Williamsport, and we landed in Ithaca. Well, when we landed in Ithaca, a guy came out and says, ladies and gentlemen, we're having some problem with our landing gear, so if you'd like, you can take a van up to Utica, or you can wait while we get it fixed. And it was a no-brainer for me. I'm not staying on a plane that's got landing gear problems. I got in the van, the courtesy van, I drove up to Utica. If a guy says to me we're having engine problems, it'll be a while. I'm getting off the plane, and I ain't getting back on. See, what I'm doing here is I'm telling you how much smarter than Aaliyah I am. Bahamian investigators, well, that's a real comfort. Bahamian investigators. Is it racist? Is it ethnocentric? Is it Eurocentric? Why does Phil say that? Just because I feel like it. Bahamian investigators, that makes me laugh. Have searched through the wreckage for clues to the crash, but so far they left their magnifying glasses at home, and one guy was seen picking up a piece of plastic and looking at it for 5 minutes, and they just dropped it and went and had beers. Police Superintendent Basil Romming told the Associated Press that one of the Cessna's engines apparently failed. When asked why, he said, well, it crashed, didn't it? The Cessna 402 is designed to handle a single-engine takeoff, according to ABC News aviation expert John Nance, who tried to explain this to the Bahamian investigators, and they couldn't figure it out. He said the situation requires the pilot to make an instantaneous response with few options, whatever that means, said Mr. Nance. Nance, usually reliable in these situations, had no clue what the Bahamians or anybody else was talking about, for that matter. Nance says wealthy, high-profile passengers might sometimes bully pilots, yet that rarely results in an accident. Usually, the high-profile, wealthy passengers know way more about flying an airplane than the pilot, even though they never flew an airplane in their lives, and they wouldn't know which end is up if their lives hung in a delicate balance, so said Mr. Nance. So many musicians have died in small aircraft, said Mr. Nance. And that's one of the good things about small aircraft. They've taken out so many bad musicians over the years. You would think that anybody in show business would be three times more sensitive. But because most people in show business aren't sensitive and aren't very bright for that matter, most of them are going to die horribly. Aaliyah, whose name means highest, most exalted one in Swahili, doesn't speak Swahili. At least doesn't speak Swahili anymore. She earned a Grammy nomination for her song Try Again and Are You That Somebody. She made her acting debut last year, if you call that acting, with a starring role in the Jet Li film Romeo Must Die. Jet Li is re-releasing that film with Aaliyah Died, and was slated to appear in the upcoming sequel to The Matrix, called Matrix 2. She had recently finished shooting Queen of the Dam, based on the Anne Rice vampire novel, in which she plays Queen Akasha, which is Swahili for some other crap. I think Aaliyah was the next Jennifer Lopez, the next Whitney Houston, the next Madonna, the next Janet Jackson, the next Dean Martin, said Emil Wilbekin, editor-in-chief of Vibe magazine, before he passed out on his sofa. She was a great dancer, she was a great singer, and she had a great attitude, and people liked working with her, they just didn't like flying with her. Wilbekin, who said his name is Swahili for asshole, said he watched her grow from a 15-year-old teen singer to a multi-platinum selling artist and actress with astonishment and disbelievement and all those other big words. In fact, before Brandy, Britney, and Christina, Aaliyah caused quite a stir in the music world with her mixture of R&B and hip-hop. Her third album, Aaliyah, released this summer, marked a move from a punchy pop influence to a more mature, introspective sound. What was her first two albums called? The third one's called Aaliyah. What were the first two? Jesus, what her old names were? One was called Britney, the other was called Madonna, and oh yeah, I remember now, Aaliyah. They got it right in the third album. No wonder Madonna had that spike in sales. Actually, the first album was called Mariah Carey. That's why it went from like number 63 to number 2 and then back down to number 63. And it was only 49 cents for the whole album. Okay, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.